What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to the next episode of the Big Orange Buzz Podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Fletcher. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm sure if you don't live under a rock, you've heard the big news. Nico is set to be QB1. So, of course, we're going to talk about it a little bit, kind of unpack that. You know, the good, the bad that comes with that, what that means for Joe Milton, what that means for Nico going forward, and what it can mean for the rest of the team, potentially what it can mean for recruiting, and much more. We'll talk about Iowa a little bit and what to expect coming out of that game. You know, not a whole lot going on with the basketball team right now. It's kind of in that dead space where we're just kind of waiting at this moment, just kind of waiting for the conference play to roll around. We got one more measly game coming up on Tuesday, on January 2nd, which is the day after the bowl game against Norfolk State. You know, it's no way to sugarcoat it. It's a team that Tennessee should not have any problem with. Wouldn't surprise me if Tennessee's not kind of napping a little bit, looking ahead to the game they play on the 6th, which is that weekend against Ole Miss, who is undefeated at the moment. You know, it's just kind of it's one of those that happens sometimes. You know that you have a really good team coming to your house, open up conference play, and you're kind of susceptible to play a little bit sloppy. As long as you come out with a win in that one, not upset. But it's one that we really don't have to spend a lot of time on because we know Tennessee, they're going to be able to handle Norfolk State. We can sit here and take a look at Norfolk State all we want. But, I mean, just no way if and or but about it. They should not be able to compete with Tennessee, and they're not going to. Just outclassed, outmanned, just going to be out-physical. It's not going to go good for them. But like I said, would not surprise me if it was a little bit sloppy. You know, maybe for what you would expect at this point in the season. But, you know, the real meat of the schedule starts the game immediately following that. So we'll have a lot more to unpack in that episode, going over the, you know, what to kind of expect out of Ole Miss, what to think about heading into that game. And it could be an impactful one. And it's always good, you know, to start out on a good foot, start out with a key win against an undefeated team in your conference. That's great. So, a lot to look forward to there, but, you know, still a lot to, you know, a lot of time to practice and get better in between now and then. So the guys really just need to focus on sharpening up and just really staying healthy more than anything. That'd be the worst thing about that Norfolk State game is, you know, they could kill them. They could absolutely wax them. But if you get somebody like Connect gets hurt, that could be awful right before you go into conference play. So you just come out of there. Don't do anything stupid. Just play smart. Play physical, but, you know, ultimately just play smart. Don't put your body in harm's way. Be careful. Stay safe. Stay rested. All that fun stuff, you know. But that's all we're really looking at there. And now the big hot topic right now is Nico. He has been promoted to QB1. Not that Joe has necessarily been demoted. I think it's more of a, you know, everyone kind of agrees that it's just the right time for Nico, as well as Joe just kind of looking at, you know, you're playing Iowa, who's got a really good defense, and there's just no point because, sure, you could do some good by playing in the bowl game and kind of look good, you know, maybe add some good to your resume, but you don't really need to necessarily. You got an invitation to the Senior Bowl, and there's really just no point because you're really just setting yourself up for the potential for more harm than good, if anything. If you go out there and you lay a dud, you know, it's just not your day, then that doesn't look as good for scouts or whatever. So I don't blame him there. And quite frankly, I'm glad that he's not playing because I think everyone, just like I am, is just excited to see Nico. So firstly, you know, I'll give you my opinion about it is from the start, I wanted Nico to play. I kind of thought, you know, with other people I've talked to, everyone kind of thought the same thing, that they wanted Nico to play. I did see some people that thought, you know, oh, you know, Joe's earned it, everything else. Yeah, sure, Joe earned it. And if Joe wanted to play, he would be playing. But ultimately, that's not what's happening. And I think he's making a smart decision. And I think the staff is, you know, probably excited for Nico's opportunity as well. So me personally, I was always a fan of that. I was hoping for that. Think it's a really good opportunity for him. You know, Iowa's great, but they're going to face a lot tougher next year down the road, and it's going to be on his shoulders. And of course, he's going to have better weapons around him at that point. He's going to have more practices under his belt, more film, he'll be able to look back at the film of this game and look at the ugly and see the bad as well as the good and kind of learn from it and, you know, take the good and expand upon that. So just a really good opportunity, and I saw no reason why Joe would need to play, and a lot of reason why Nico should need to play. So I think they made the right decision. Not hating on Joe either, but man, I'm just ready to get more consistency at the quarterback position. They need somebody that can react quick, has that, you know, that football IQ and that style of offense where they can like just be honed in, make snap decisions, react quickly. And I think that's why Hendon Hooker works so well in that offense, because he can just make decisions on a dime, read a defense really well, you know, with the RPO. They run that a lot, so you got to be able to make quick decisions. And, you know, ultimately, Joe Milton never really could do that. I think back to that Ole Miss game, and I know that was, you know, his first year with Heupel, but you saw a lot of that kind of indecisiveness from him this year, you know, not knowing when to grow, not knowing when to let go of the ball. You know, sometimes you just got to hit the hot dog man with it. Sometimes you need to scramble, step up in the pocket. Saw a lot of that this year, but it always reminds me of that Ole Miss game where you got one play left and he runs out of bounds, and it just shows that he never really expanded upon like his awareness, and that's something he's going to 100% have to work on. He's got all the intangibles. He's got all the ability in the world. He can go be great, and I really think he could, especially in an offense where he's not maybe having to work so fast. So if he could get the luxury of developing maybe behind a good quarterback and a good quarterback coach, good offensive coordinator somewhere in the NFL, he could do some good things, but you know, that's entirely up to him now at this point. But yeah, I mean, I think Nico's got all those intangibles. You know, he can react quick. Obviously, he's got the IQ. He's definitely got the arm. He's got such a pretty throw. So ultimately, just looking for him to just have a, you know, have a decent night. But he's going to have some mistakes, I'm sure. So learn from those going forward. Just go out there, be a freshman, but show why you were the highly touted, you know, number one QB prospect in the country. So, you know, it happens sometimes that they get a bust. And, of course, people will be calling for a bust if Nico doesn't do well. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think he's just going to be flat out awful. I don't see a way that they lose this game. But, you know, there's always that chance. And, the boo birds will be humming if Nico somehow loses this game to Iowa, who cannot manufacture points worth a crap. Their offense, anyways. Their defense scores decently often. I think they're in the top 10 defensive scoring, which is kind of an absurd stat. But you know, their offense is just bottom feeder, just terrible. They cannot move the football. You know, that's not really their style. Iowa style is playing tough defense. Whereas you got Tennessee, who likes to run quick, make things hard on our defense. So it's an interesting matchup for them and an interesting matchup for the freshmen. So like I said, that's kind of my opinion. I think it's good. I think, you know, this is kind of what I wanted all the time, and I think a lot of people agree. But I think everyone can kind of come to terms that it's the best for everybody in this situation. Now, what does that mean for Nico? I think Nico is, you know, like I was saying, he's going to be able to learn from the bad and expand upon the good. And that's ultimately all you're looking for, is that. And just, you know, don't get hurt. Please don't get hurt. You know, just come out of it healthy. Don't take any unnecessary risks. Don't take any stupid hits. You know, I'm sure a lot of people saw that Will Levis play when they played the Dolphins a couple weeks ago, where Will Levis just ran and just trucked that dude and folded that defender. Don't go try to be that, because, first of all, you're not his size. You know, I don't think Nico's going to do that. But as long as you avoid that type of stuff and just play smart, just play fundamental football, I think you'll be fine. But ultimately, you know, just expand upon your game and just learn from it. That's mainly what I'm looking for here. And not to mention, you're going to have so many more weapons. You're going to have a better offense next year, more playmakers. So it's only going to get better from this point. So also keep that in mind if he does have some of those freshman struggles, which I expect him to have, you know, his share, especially considering how little he played this year. Now, what does this mean for Tennessee and the rest of the team? The team that's with him right now, I think it's kind of a cool opportunity for them to play with a, you know, a highly touted prospect that everyone loves to be around. You got a lot of guys that's, you know, said that they're coming back next year to play with Nico. So I think for the guys that's there right now playing in this bowl game, even guys that, you know, like Ramel Keaton, who's choosing to play, that's, you know, going to go try to get drafted, I think it tells you that they're just excited to go get an opportunity to play with him, and just, you know, excited to suit up one more time. But I think it's good for the team currently, and the team of next year, I think it's, you know, a really good sign, and it could give them a lot of confidence going into the next year, and just build a lot of excitement for them as well. So, you know, it's a good opportunity to do that as well. Because you got to have faith in your quarterback. You know, if you don't have faith in your quarterback, or, you know, you got a team that's kind of split, you know, we've seen that in the past where, you know, remember Brian Maurer was kind of taking some reps from Jarrett Garantano at one time. You know, half the team was all, you know, we need Garantano in there. Half the team was like, we got to get somebody else. And so you kind of had a split decision in that locker room, and that's the last thing you need. So, you know, it's a good opportunity to kind of instill some confidence in those guys and show them that, you know, you really are all that talk. So, good opportunity for them as well. And what does that mean for Joe? You know, of course, we kind of touched on that. Just means it's a good opportunity. I think it's smart for him. He can go, you know, expand and look better for the draft. I think it's, you know, overall, it's a good decision for him. And, you know, it's an exciting time for him right now. So, you know, I hope that he does well. I wish nothing but good for him. But ultimately, I think it doesn't really mean a whole lot for Joe, except that, you know, it's just a game that he doesn't have to participate in, not take any negative risks. And ultimately, his fate is on his shoulders now at this point. And I think Tennessee's done all they could for him. So, yeah, I hope to see him do good things in the future. And especially for a guy that decided to stick around. And that could be a good example for other people, you know, that's especially some of these young guys. Like, look at Arch Manning, who's, you know, seemingly, if Quinn Ewers comes back next year at Texas, Arch Manning is going to be a second stringer again, whereas he was a third string this year. But, I mean, he'll be a backup, so still a step forward, but he's not going to be playing. Like, he could go play at other places right now, probably. But do you want to do that, or do you want to sit and learn and kind of bide your time? Be patient, because a lot of times that ends up paying off. You know, you go to school to learn, and so you get to learn, be in one place, get comfortable, know your teammates, build chemistry. And when you're hopping from place to place, you see things like that happen, like with what happened with JT Daniels. You know, someone that, you know, had he stuck around at Georgia, or maybe had he gone, you know, somewhere else and stuck around there, there's no telling what he could have been, because that guy had some serious talent. But, you know, now he's being forced to kind of medically retire because, I mean, you know, he's been hurt, but he's also, he's lost a lot of talent, a lot of buzz. He just doesn't have anything going for him now. So I think it's a good example for a lot of younger guys too, to look up to a guy like Joe Milton and kind of see that. So it's a really cool story for him. Really good dude. Seems to have a really good head on his shoulders too. So wish nothing but the best for him. But yeah, you know, so I think all in all, it's a win for everybody. And the last thing to kind of touch on with Nico before we start looking at Iowa is, you know, what does this mean for the recruiting? People don't realize this, but that could be huge for recruiting, you know, down the line, is, you know, get a jump in that 2025 class. Is, you know, look what he did in the bowl game when he had little time to prep. He knew right beforehand that he was going to be the starter, and look what he did in such a little time. Imagine a whole couple of off seasons, and he's going to be throwing to you, or you're going to be blocking for this guy. So it's a really good way to, you know, get some guys to commit and kind of rally behind a team. Even, you know, with the portal as active as it is nowadays, you can get a lot of people that way as well. It's almost like free marketing for the team when you got a guy like that, if he really can live up to the talk and the hype. So, you know, it's a cool opportunity. You know, they can expand upon even this 2024 class, like I said, instilling confidence in those guys. And just in the future, it's going to be big for recruiting if he can kind of make a statement with this game. So there's some pressure on Nico and a lot riding on it for him in the future. But, you know, if it doesn't go well, it's not the end of the world either. So there's a lot of good that can come, but there's not a whole lot of bad that can come, because you can't really just write him off and say, oh, he's washed. You know, oh, we're paying this guy all this money. He's our QB1. Are you serious? He's a bust. You can't say all that because he's a freshman. He really hadn't got a chance to have any really good reps or experience against a good football team. And so now he's finally getting the opportunity to do so. And so if he struggles a little bit and is really his first college game against a team with a pulse, you can't, you know, you can't judge him for that. So you know, that's another reason why games like Austin Peay, where, you know, you kind of came into that game sleeping a little bit, despite all the craziness that Austin Peay was throwing your way, it kind of hurts you now because that's another lack of experience that you did not get for Nico. But, you know, it's what it is now, so he's going to have to learn quick, and he's got the ability to do so. He's certainly got all the intangibles. So, that's kind of the main point we wanted to get at with him. You know, it's good for everybody, good for him, good for the team, good for recruiting, and it, you know, also has an opportunity to make the coaching staff look really good if he goes in there and has a good game. And I do expect him to have a good game. Not trying to sit here and say that I don't. I do think he'll have his decent share of struggles, but I don't think it's going to be anything overwhelming. So what is Iowa? Who is Iowa? It's a brand, you know, with Kirk Ferentz. He's built on defense. They never are known for really being a team that's going to score a lot of points. You know, they tried to kind of make a move by getting Cade McNamara from Michigan. Of course, he got hurt, so season's over, so he won't be playing. You know, he could be good for them down the line a little bit, certainly expand on their passing game, but, you know, it's not going to be that way for Iowa. It just never is. So, you know, obviously the bulk of their, you know, their real, like, the importance of their team is built on that defense. That is their brand. They play tough defense. And if you look at some of their offensive statistics, they're averaging total points per game, 16.6 points per game. Not good. They've only scored 22 total touchdowns this season. Their third down percentage as well is very low, 30.69% on third downs. They were 5-for-10 on fourth downs, which, you know, they're probably not going to go for it a lot unless they get into like a tush-push situation where they can just kind of pound the rock on, you know, on Tennessee's territory. But they're not going to be super ballsy. They're going to, you know, they're going to let their defense try to win them the game. So, you know, obviously they're going to try to slow Tennessee down, disrupt that tempo. So it's going to be up to Tennessee to kind of remain quick, keep a good pace in the game, play their offense the way that Josh Heupel wants to play it. But, you know, it's probably not going to be as fast as what everyone wants it to be because, you know, there's going to be times where Nico is going to have to slow down, see what's going on. There's going to be different guys on the offensive line a little bit too, different receivers in the game. So a lot of new faces, a lot of different people. You know, that means that there could be a little bit of a learning curve there. So Iowa's game is going to be on, you know, disrupting Tennessee's offense, slowing them down, and controlling the tempo of that game. And, you know, Tennessee's defense, that's another concerning thing. Although Iowa, they're not going to be, you know, heaving it downfield a whole lot. You know, they might every now and then, but if they do get opportunities and you see a, you know, a young, inexperienced secondary from Tennessee that's just out of position maybe, Iowa could exploit that. And so, you know, Iowa, the way that their defense plays and with a, you know, not knowing what the offense could be like for Tennessee, that could, you know, spell some trouble for them. So it definitely could be a low-scoring game. And I think if it's a really low-scoring game, it almost favors Iowa. So Tennessee is going to have to score and take advantage of those opportunities to score, even if it's just 3 points. You know, you got to stay getting points. You know, you need points as much and as often as you can because the defense is legit. You know, some of their big-time players, they've got some good running backs. Taking the bulk of their carries was Williams. He had 804 yards this season. Then he had Johnson backing him up, 429 yards. That's kind of their 1-2 punch. It's just, you know, they're not a brand that's really built on receiving the football. It's mostly going to be running on offense. You know, their leading receiver is their tight end with 299 yards on the season. So it's just not going to be their big motive is just passing the ball. They're going to run the ball a lot, control the clock, milk it as much as possible, and they're going to try to slow Tennessee's offense down. That is 100% going to be the game plan. But, you know, they got some dudes on defense. So Tennessee's going to have to come in there ready to play. Ultimately, I think it, you know, it's going to be a fun game to watch. Could get interesting. I do believe Tennessee's going to win. Right now, let's see what the line is. I can't remember what the line was. I do know it moved when they announced that Tennessee was going to be playing with Nico. It moved. Okay, so it's still in favor of Tennessee. It's -6 Tennessee. So, you know, certainly if Tennessee wins the game, you would think that they're going to cover that, probably. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's favorable for Tennessee just based on how bad the Iowa's offense has been. And, you know, I think, you know, partly too, not to discredit them at all, because like I said, they do have a very stellar defense. Part of that also comes from playing in the Big Ten West, where you got teams like Nebraska who's trying to rebuild, but they're not there yet. You know, you got teams that's just not good. Northwestern, not very good. Wisconsin wasn't very good. Purdue, certainly not. Illinois, certainly not. And Minnesota, gosh awful. So finishing on top of that conference and that division does not really say a lot about them. And the success that their defense has and that they had this season, it's, you know, it's there. But it's also a little bit overblown considering the competition that they're playing. I mean, you look at the games that they won. They beat Utah State 24-14. They beat Iowa State 20-13. They beat Western Michigan 41-10. That was kind of absurd to score that many points, even though it was just Western Michigan. Lost to Penn State 31-0. And, you know, that's a Penn State that struggled to find offense when they played real talent. They beat Michigan State 26-16, beat Purdue 20-14, beat Wisconsin 15-6. This is the most Iowa score ever. Minnesota beat them 12-10. They beat Northwestern 10-7, beat the Rutgers 22-0, beat Illinois 15-13, beat Nebraska 13-10, lost to Michigan 26-0. So you'll notice that a lot of those games are very low scoring. The games that they won are very narrow margins. Largely won due to the impact that the special teams had and that their defense contributed to the game. And that, you know, as a matter of fact, the defense scored some of those points in those games. So ultimately, I don't think Iowa's going to just magically find some recipe for success, although I do think that they, you know, could make it a little bit challenging for Tennessee's defense, given that some of them are going to be inexperienced. But, you know, Tennessee's a lot more battle hardened. They play a lot tougher foes in the SEC. And I don't expect this to really be a contest for them. I'm going to take Tennessee 34 to Iowa 17. I know that's a lot. That is a lot. And that's a lot of points scored for Iowa. But I fully expect Nico to get rolling. I don't think that he's going to miss a beat. I think that they're going to be fine. That's a really generous prediction for Tennessee. But ultimately, I don't think that they're going to struggle the way that, you know, Iowa wants them to struggle. And I think that, you know, eventually they're going to run out of steam, and I think it could be close at halftime, but Tennessee probably just lays it on a little bit there at the end. You know, Josh Heupel style, he likes to put as many points on the board as he can. He doesn't really like to lay off as much as possible. And, I mean, you know, he's going to want to get Nico as many reps as possible. So even if they've, you know, probably secured the game, they may start running the ball a little bit more, but, you know, Nico's still going to be involved, and they're going to try to get points. Kind of like, you know, everybody, when we played Missouri in 2022, ran up the score at the end. They brought Joe in when he was the backup, and he scored a couple times. And I think you'll see that, not necessarily with a backup, but I think you'll see Nico probably score a couple times late just to really put the icing on the cake and be the difference in that ball game. So I'm excited. 34-17, that's a really bold prediction. And the more I say it, the less confident I am in that. But either way, I do think Tennessee covers. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a fun one. Can't wait to watch that one. But I think it bodes well for Tennessee, and there's nothing but upside for them. Even if you lose, you get Nico some valuable time. So it's a win-win situation. It's really – there's no loss here except for on the record. You know, if this is a playoff game or a New Year's Six Bowl, obviously we'd be talking about this differently. But the fact of the matter is bowl games don't hold as much importance as they used to. But they for sure mean a lot to diehard fans like me. So I definitely want a win, but I want what's best for the players. And ultimately, Nico just needs the reps and he needs the experience. So that's all I could really ask for. Super excited to watch it. Excited for the basketball team to move into conference play. A lot of good things ahead. So stay tuned. We'll be talking about basketball probably on the next episode. We'll be getting into some of the more football stuff too as we go into the off season and keeping up with that, how everybody's looking. And baseball, I know I keep saying it, and I told y'all, if you haven't watched and you don't watch typically, you need to start watching the baseball team. I'm telling you, college baseball, it's getting hot. It's super fun to watch. It's, you know, if you're passionate about Tennessee, you can definitely get behind that team because they got some fire in them. You know, Tony Vitello, he's a big Tennessee guy. Just, you know, get behind him if you haven't already. But I appreciate you guys tuning in. This was a cool one to record. Everyone's super excited about Nico. We'll all be ecstatic when he's finally, you know, getting his reps and the full-fledged starter next season. So appreciate you guys tuning in. If you want to, you can find me on social media at Big Orange Buzz on Instagram, at Big Orange Buzz _ on Twitter. So shoot me a message, reach out. We can talk football, basketball, baseball, whatever. You know, I watch other stuff too outside of Tennessee, believe it or not. So just feel free to have a conversation or, you know, give me some input on the podcast, whatever. Appreciate you guys listening. We'll see you guys on the next one next week. Have a good weekend. Have a happy New Year's. And most importantly, go Vols.